This is KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. Support for KDNK comes from the City of Glenwood Springs Community Broadband Network, providing the community with only 100% fiber optic network. Glenwood's Community Broadband Network provides 1.3 gig internet without contracts, data caps, or termination fees. More information and availability at gscbn.com. Pay it forward, Jam and Jay here on the mic. And I've got some guests in the house. We've got Ryan Roberts. Yay!
Oh.
And do you want to introduce yourself as one of the newer DJs coming on?
Oh, sure. Hey, what's up, y'all? This is 8-Bit. I'm going to be coming at you with the Funk Foundation here very soon, so looking very forward to that. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks, you guys, for making my show great tonight. Ryan is coming at us. He is a unique musician. So, Ryan, I'd like you to just tell us a little about yourself, what you're playing tonight, and let's just spotlight you.
Well, thanks very much, Janelle. I'm from Africa originally, so you can probably hear that in my accent, but I've lived all over the world. 15 years in France, about 15 years or a bit longer maybe in Britain. All very crucial parts of my life. And now I'm in Colorado, and I feel like this is a culmination of everywhere I've lived. Particularly around here in the valley, I feel the people I meet here are pretty worldly and also bring me ideas that are new as well.
So, coming to Colorado, land in the valley, and you get connected with other musicians. How do you get connected with people when you're in that world?
You go to bars. You find the musicians in bars. And then you go and watch live music, actually, is the best way to do it. You go and watch live music, you find kindred spirits, and you talk to them, and you know, as somebody who loves music yourself, as soon as you start talking to somebody who loves music in a profound way, and it just blossoms from that. So I'm sure there's lots of musicians who play in multiple bands, because actually you could make friends with musicians all over the place in the valley and all over the world. Actually, it's a good way of getting to know people, and then you meet people and then you say, hey, let's make a band. And it's the same as when you are 19 years old, in which I was at that stage, in my first ever punk rock band, trying to learn how to make three chords or two and a half at least, and it's the same feeling. It's always the same feeling. You start something and it's a project and it's interesting and you listen to what people do and you go, oh, that makes me do a different thing on my instrument because of the way you play it, you know? And so that's how the musical conversation goes.
That's nice. So tonight you came into the studio and you've got multiple instruments. Tell us a little about what you're playing.
Well, I'm playing my guitar here. And then I've got a kick drum that I made myself. And it's got like a bass thing and a snare thing. And kind of a hi-hat, and a lot of what interests me is street performance.
Mm-hmm.
And so this comes out of that. I've done a little bit of busking in Europe and Britain, and that really intrigues me. And I've met some fantastic musicians who a guy in Spain one day, a guitarist, that you just think, how on earth are you not the like most lauded musician on earth? And then I also met two Irish fellas, and what they did was they would start right down in the south of Spain in the spring, and then they just travel all the way up and end up in Berlin in the fall, and they would just live on the streets and they would just play.
So they busked their way through all the country. The way.
Yeah, and
that's
then,
cool.
And they were incredible. So yeah, good. There was a banjo player and a guitarist, and they were like punky Celtic singers and that sort of thing. And they I met them in Santander in northern Spain, and it's a way of life, isn't it? Music, so it becomes you.
Very, very. It's actually very spiritual. Very spiritual. So, here we are. Thanks for coming in again. For those of you just tuning in, this is Ryan Roberts, special guest on my show. He's going to play some music for us tonight. As you last heard about where he's lived and some of just brief experiences, I hope you can feel that through his music tonight. So why don't you kick us off, Ryan, with some music, and let's just get to know you through your music.
Thank you very much, Janelle. I've neglected to mention my harmonica.
Yes.
We'll be playing banjo.
So all the beats you're hearing are all Ryan.
All him. And guys, there's a beautiful little box down here. He's got colorful little layout of harmonicas to choose from. So
I hope I don't mix them up. My name is Jock Stewart. I'm a canny gone mine, and a roving young feller I've been. So be easy and free when you're drinking with me. I'm a man you don't meet every day. I have acres of land, I have men I command. There's always a shilling to spare. So be easy and free when you drink out with me. I'm a man you won't meet every day. Took out my dog, with him I did shoe down in the Westminster Glade. So be easy and free when you drink and with me. I'm a man you won't meet every day. Up your glasses of brandy or wine, whatever the cost I will pay. So be easy and free when you drink out with me. I'm a man you won't meet every day. So, that song, first heard by the Pogues, who are punky Celtic group. So, It's actually sung by a woman in the Pogues.
Oh, I love it.
And so it's a fantastic song, and kind of makes me think of the fella you meet in a pub who you don't really know everything about him, but he kind of promises more than maybe he can deliver. So he's a man you don't meet every day, and that's what that song sort of talks to me about. I've probably spent too long in pubs.
You got some great stories from those pub visits.
Okay. So the next song I'm going to sing is a song called Caledonia. My grandmother's from Scotland, and so this kind of goes out to her, really. Just as a side note, our band, the Nobodies, sings a song called My Grandmother Meg, which is actually a song about her. She was a fantastic woman, Colt 45 on her hip, frontiers woman, Dour, Protestant, Scottish. Transplanted to Africa, and was known because she birthed all the cattle in the district and all the babies. Usually, she would was known by the local people as a magic woman because she had this ability to basically jumpstart babies, which is a completely normal thing. But of course, in rural Africa, the child was born not breathing. They just imagined that the child was dead. So they kind of imbibed in my grandmother this kind of magic user type thing, which they thought that she knew how to make people come back from the dead. So
Meg.
Yeah, Meg. Yeah.
She sounds amazing.
Yeah, oh, she was a fantastic woman. Had a dairy herd. She was just very very interesting human being and terrifying as well. So loving, terrifying, and frontiers woman in the old sense, you know.
A woman after my own heart.
Yeah. So this is about Caledonia, about Scotland.
All right.
Caledonia, you're calling me. Now I'm going home. If
should become a stranger, and it would make me more than sad. Caledonia's been everything I've ever had. I'm sitting here before the fire, the empty room and the forest choir. The flames are cool, don't get any higher. With it now they're gone. Steady thinking, my way is clear. And I know what I will do tomorrow when my hands are shaking, the kisses flow. I will disappear. Let me tell you that I love you, and I think about you all the time. In Caledonia, you're calling me. Now I'm going home. And if I should become a stranger, it would make me more than sad. Caledonia's been everything I've ever had.
That was beautiful. That was a beautiful song.
it's always makes me think of my grandmother, makes me tear up a bit. So, this is a song, Irish song, and very, very famous in Ireland. So I hope I do it justice, if anyone from Ireland is listening.
You never know who's listening. This is Katie and Kay.
Last night as I lay dreaming of pleasant days gone by, my mind was bent on rambling to Ireland I did fly. I stepped on board a vision and followed it with a will, till at last I came to anchor at the cross at Spansil Hill. Twas on the 23rd of June, the day before the fair, where Ireland's sons and daughters and friends assembled there, where the young, the old, the brave and the bold came their duty to fulfill. At the little church of Clooney, a mile from Spansil, I went to see my neighbors, to see what they might say. The old ones, they were dead and gone, the young ones turning gray. Well, I met with Taylor quickly, he's as bold as ever still. Ah, he used to make me bridges when I lived at Spansil Hill. I made a flying visit to my first and only love. She's as white as any lily, and and as gentle as a dove. When she threw her arms around me, saying, Johnny, I love you still. As she's Meg, the farmer's daughter, and the pride of Spansel Hill. I dreamt, I hugged and I kissed her, as in the days of yore. She said, Johnny, you're only joking, as many's the time before. Well, the cock, he crowed in the morning, he grew so loud and shrill. I was back in California, many miles from Spansel.
This is KDNK, member owned since 1983. Pay it forward if you're just tuning in. Ryan Roberts in the house playing some beautiful music for us. The Chameleon and Merle Disc Golf Tournament will take place this coming Saturday, September 25th at Gianetti Park in Carbondale. For more information on how to sign up, just go to kdnk.org or call us at the station 970-963-0139. Ryan, thank you so much for coming in and playing and sharing part of you with everyone out there tuning in.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about how old were you when you first started playing music? Like, what inspired you? What tapped that that inside music source?
So, I think like a lot of people, I started in church. I think that's hymns mean a lot to me, meant a lot to me outside of just what I was singing about. And I always had this reverence for the way that music had of healing. My mother believed very strongly in prayer for healing. And so very often she would sing hymns to me when I was, you know, childhood fevers, that sort of thing. In Africa, you catch quite a lot of stuff. Just basically growing up in the 70s in Africa, they, you know, you didn't have all sorts of, you know, children were still dying of polio. There was, you know, so I can remember particularly times my mother singing hymns to me when I was in this fevered state, and somehow it soothed me. And so I wrote songs before I could play musical instruments, because my cousin, who's also a very, very talented musician, he lives in Denver, Alex Ross, he does a ton of really good music as well. But he and I, he lived out on a farm, and he and I were roommates because he went to my school. So we wrote a song together about a place called Kariba, which is a dam on the Zambezi River, and it's beautiful. It's just breathtakingly beautiful. And all sorts of animals there. You'll see lion and leopard and rhinoceros, and I've seen white and black rhino, I've also seen elephant, you know, just huge African elephant. So I remember we wrote the song, and it was our sense of wonder and majesty that kind of we wanted to translate to music, because that's the only thing that could stand up to interpret the wonder and majesty of nature. So I think I've always had a sense of music being like that, and then, you know, like everyone else, grew up and wanted to impress girls, so then started.
Of course,
I wanted to be in a punk rock band. But by then, I was living in Britain, and in the tail end of the or sort of 82, I moved to Britain. It was the tail end of punk rock. I lived in a southern town, Basingstoke. It's sort of 50 miles out of London, overflow town for London, and we spent a lot of time hopping on the train, going up to London. Particularly Brixton was one of our places, one of our haunts, and that's where I really got introduced to Jamaican music, and that opened up just a massive world of rhythm and beauty that I think happily every time I've traveled, I've also coincided it with learning about music. Obviously, Brixton being in Britain, you would imagine that I would be focused on English music, which I have also connection with, but folk, British folk music, but certainly the Jamaican music said something to me about Africa as well, and so spent a lot of time listening to fantastic, mainly old ska artists like Desmond Decker and Laurel Aiken, all these guys. Just Desmond Decker, you might know him. He did a song called The Israelites that was like the first ever reggae number one in Britain. And and then the sound system culture. I know, 8-Bit, you've got kind of contact with that, the sound system culture.
Yeah, a little exposure. Yeah, we were having a fun conversation about that. But I lit up when he said Brixton, y'all. I was like, ooh, he's heard that. I know he's heard it.
Well, the funny thing is that a lot of the Jamaican culture crossed over. You know, when I got to Britain, I was this very naive kind of colonial barefoot boy. Literally barefoot. I would be barefoot apart from going to school. So, all of this was just like an onslaught, seeing all these different cultures. And punk rock was in the suburbs, was still alive. It wasn't London had moved on by then. But in Brixton, you had Don Letts, who is this fantastic DJ. His legacy after that was that he would play, he was of Jamaican extraction. He would play reggae tunes, and then he'd play a punk rock tune. And so you got these two tribes. Britain in those days was very, very musically tribal. You had kind of punk rockers and rockabillies and mods and skinheads and all of everything in between, as psychobillies and these fantastically interesting subcultures that I sort of mentioned the skinheads. Of course, the earliest skinheads were working class London boys, particularly, or London young people, boys and girls. But they were very, very into early Jamaican ska. So the later on incarnation of skinhead, later on in the late 80s, where it sort of split away into the hard right sort of punky skinheads, and then the original skinheads who were literally reggae fans. So, I often have to put a shout out for them, because the poor old skinheads, the original ones, they listened to Bluebeat and ska and rocksteady and eventually lovers rock and all this Jamaican music. But anyway, I'm going off on a tangent.
I love it. I was pulled in. I was on that journey. It was fabulous.
So that's why Jamaican music is big to me. But that's why I play in a ska band called the Nobodies, and we're more like the British interpretation of original Jamaican ska. Jamaican ska came out in the late 60s. Well, actually, all the way through the 60s, but became popular in the late 60s. And it then reincarnated in the 80s in bands like The Specials, The Selector, the band you call the English Beat.
Yeah.
We call them the Beat. So when I got to the United States, and I'm like, do you like the English Beat? I'm like, you mean the Beat? And then I guessed that there must be an American Beat as well. So that's why I guess you delineated.
We might have to dig and find that, y'all.
I think so.
Yeah, we're going to have to figure that out.
So I saw the English beat at the Belly Up in Aspen, and they were just as good.
I've seen them. I went to Reggae on the Rocks.
Did you?
A couple of years ago, and they were there. So yeah. it was a phenomenal. It was the longest concert I've ever been to. It was probably a 10-hour concert.
So cool.
We had Steel Pulse, and I think I'd have to look back at the lineup, but it was some of the older bands.
Yeah,
and it was really special, and it was beautiful. It was fun.
No doubt. Yeah. And those reggae concerts. I mean, when we used to go to Brixton, we used to have all day events.
Yeah.
So we'd go to the Brixton Academy. They would obviously know, and it would be a 12 till 12, and you would have a gazillion bands play the Deltones, the Loafers, the Toasters, the all these bands that were just amazing. Gazmail's band.
I think Ryan needs to be a DJ, y'all. He needs to come do a show. He's going to expose us to the ska. I'm going to show you the foundation of the funk. He's going to bring in the ska.
No, well, I know you've got, I listen to all you guys here and you know, you have fantastic DJs, but I think we all have the music's bug, don't we? It's like almost a sickness.
Yeah. I kind of do.
Yes. Kind of a madness.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, let's hear some more music while we got you. Let's take advantage of this time.
I'm going to sing you a song that my friend Gina Sibanda and I... Gina Sibanda is the first friend I ever knew. And he and I lived in a small holding together. So Gina was a Shona, a speaking boy. And in our household, we spoke English. And then in his household, we always spoke Shona. Now, my Shona now, I doubt, is barely functional, but Gina helped me write this song, sort of the lyrics anyway, and sadly he's passed now, so this is for him, and it's called Shamwari, and Shamwari means friend, and it talks about living somewhere and trying to get back to that, and I think we're always in our minds trying to get back to something, aren't we? But when we're thinking and about music, it can transport us. So this transports me back to at least when I was 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old with Gina.
Child, she cave of dreams, a vagabond child, blessed with African ancestry.
So, that one very special for my friend Gina Sibanda, and such a lovely lad, always cleverer, stronger, braver than me. I was always the guy following on going, Gina, can we really do that? And he would always be the one doing it.
I would think that he seems really adventurous and you were thinking.
Well,
like,
I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe that's not
know.
A good idea.
Yeah, I, in some ways, I guess it's some of these. When you're a little lad, you're always impressed by bigger lads, anyway, aren't you? Sort of thing. So, and so that always makes me think of Gina and thank my lucky stars that I met him, because he sadly died of. Basically just being poor and black in Africa. You know, he died of something that was very easily sorted out. It's, you know, we'd parted ways. I was obviously in Europe then. We had to struggle. We were, you know, immigrants and in Britain, and, you know, it was a bit of a struggle. So it wasn't like we could charge over there and save him, sort of thing. So very, very, very sad, really, for... you know, in Zimbabwe, average age of mortality was 42.
42.
Yeah, and he died at 42, you know, and it's one of those things that I just, to this day, I just wish that you know, I could have done something for him, you know. But
you can, actually, and you're doing it now by carrying his spirit on through your music, so that's a gift right there.
Yeah, so... Next song I'm going to sing you. Oops, sorry, just put my harmonicas down. Is a song that is about America, United States of America. So it's one of my songs, and it's when I came here, I was very intrigued by all the ethnic components of the United States, and I was also intrigued by. The history and you know the momentous events, the Civil War, things like that. So one story I heard of was about how in the Civil War they drafted lots and lots of particularly Irish working class people to go and fight. This was the Union side to go and fight in the Civil War, and so a lot of that experience for somebody who's just immigrated to a country and then suddenly they're embroiled in the Civil War. Now, the bizarre thing was that the immigrants would come in there at Ellis Island, or they'd go down further south. So the ones that were inducted down south ended up fighting for the south because it was a job and a meal. And the ones in the north were actually drafted.
Mm,
so At a very famous battle, the Sunken Road Wall battle at Fredericksburg, two Irish battalions faced off against each other. One was the Union side, and one was the Confederate side. And it ended up being a massacre, essentially, because the Confederate side had the high ground, and they also had this big wall, this robust wall called the Sunken Road Wall. And the Confederate Army were behind that wall, and the Union soldiers just charged relentlessly and were shot down. Not one of them got it closer than 50 yards from the wall. And the sad thing was that both sides could see that this was slaughter and that it was unnecessary. And the report is that the Confederate Irish soldiers were crying by the end of it, just could not understand that they were killing these people that were practically their brethren. So this is a song about that. Cheerful song.
Well, now I got to hear this song.
In 1863, they drafted poor Irish whites for a rich man's cause and a poor man's fight. When we emigrated, they never told us that we might be fighting our Irish brothers in the southern states. There was shameful behavior. Draftees attacked the blacks in New York City, looted, lynched, and smashed. When they surrendered to the draft sergeant, they marched us all to the south. That's how I stood facing the sunken road at Fredericksburg. Wave after wave, we attacked the wall. 3,000 Confederate soldiers and their guns. There were Irish soldiers on both sides. We were pressed men, but they were volunteers. They shot us, they cheered us while we charged. Our Irish brothers still butchered us like pigs. They wept as they shot us, they cheered us while we charged as we attacked the sunken road wall at Fredericksburg. Wave after wave we did fall, 50 yards short of the bloody wall. Irish soldiers have their pride. I could hear the enemy singing their songs, and I knew every word. Well, they wept as they shot us, they cheered us while we charged. Our Irish brothers still butchered us like pigs. They wept as they shot us, and they cheered us while we charged as we attacked the sunken road wall at Fredericksburg.
There's a lot of pain right there in that song.
Well, war is pain. I was born into war, you know, and